are so many different theories and guesses as to where Tammy could be. It was September 20th, 2014 when she left her house, leaving behind her keys, wallet, cell phone, and family. Her husband says he knew something terrible had happened.
You know, I know that with her depression, her mind can go from okay to rock bottom within a half hour.
But what happened after she left?
We may go for the rest of our lives not knowing what happened. That's really a horrible thought.
I just wish that I would have been home, because maybe I could have prevented it all from happening.
I just keep hoping that things will eventually get better, and they have to get better somehow.
This is True Crime Brewery. I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick.
Today, we're talking about Tammy Kingery, a 37-year-old nurse and a mother of three who disappeared from her South Carolina home on Saturday, September 20th, 2014. Before we get started, let's see what we have on tap.
So these people are from North Augusta, South Carolina, which sounds kind of an oxymoron, but anyway. But I wanted to have a South Carolina beer. So I picked a beer from R.J. Rocker's Brewing Company in Spartanburg, South Carolina, called Brown-Eyed Squirrel. Kind of a cool name for a beer. This is an English brown ale. This type of beer tends to be a sweet, malty beer with a fuller body, and it can either be fruity or nutty in flavor. This particular beer is a tawny color, with a little dollop of an off-white head, has an aroma of bread and grass, and maybe a touch of fruit, but the taste is more of the nutty type, and a little coffee, a little chocolate, and there's some fruit at the end that I thought was apple, but I can't be sure. Pretty nice beer.
All right, so let's pour the beer. Let's all grab a stool and meet at the quiet end of the bar and talk about the disappearance of Tammy Kingery. Now, Tammy Kingery moved to South Carolina with her husband in 1998. Tammy and her husband, Park, were married when she was just 19.
How old was he?
Similar aged.
What we saw, they looked about the same age.
Yeah.
So they were kids.
They were very young, yeah. They met, she had a high school job at a pharmacy, and that's where they met. So he may have been graduated from high school, but there wasn't a big age difference, I know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So between 1999 and 2007, Tammy had three children, Caitlin, Carter, and Cameron. So a girl and then two boys. Now she graduated from nursing school in 1999 and was very proud of that. And according to Tammy's older sister, Becky, Tammy loved children, she was an excellent mother, and becoming a nurse was her goal since high school. So she was happy with her job, with her children, and they'd actually built a house, I think it was 2010, that she was really happy with as well.
So was she a pediatric nurse?
No, she worked in a nursing home.
Okay, so she wanted to be a nurse, and she liked kids, but she wasn't a pediatric nurse, she was about as far away from pediatrics as you could get.
Yeah, but her sister said that she also really bonded with the residents at the nursing home. Her husband said that Tammy would attend their funerals and speak at their funerals. She got really close to her residents. It was a small nursing home. So she had the same patients for a long time.
So she was a fairly empathetic person, at least in regards to the residents of the nursing home.
Yeah, everybody said she was a very caring person, caring mother, caring nurse.
So when she disappeared, and this occurred in September of 2014.
Right.
She was 37 years old. She'd been married since 1998, so that's what, 16 years of marriage, three kids.
She was married when she was 19. So that's
18 years.
18 years of marriage, yep.
Okay. And she had been diagnosed with a depressive disorder.
Yes.
And was on some form of antidepressant.
That's true.
And we also know that she had a suicide attempt in her history.
Yes, it was a few years prior. I couldn't get an exact date when that happened, but it was a few years prior that she had attempted suicide.
So the family must have been a little nervous about her depressive symptoms and hoping that she wouldn't try to kill herself again.
They were concerned. And she was also having troubles in her relationship with her husband, Park. She'd been having trouble for a while, and she actually had told her sister she was upset about it. She didn't know if the marriage was going to work out. So that made everybody concerned that maybe she wasn't as happy as they thought she was.
Right. I guess the appearance was that they were a happy family, close-knit, and everything was going well. But underneath all that, she's depressed and thinking of leaving her husband.
Yes. And in the 2 weeks prior to her disappearance, she'd been very tired. According to Park, Tammy had been spending much of her time in bed with generalized aches and pains, not feeling well, and she'd called out from work more than once, which really wasn't like her to call out sick from work.
So that could be another symptom of the depression.
Absolutely, it could.
Feeling tired and sleepy all the time.
Yeah, it could be. So on the 20th of September, it was a Saturday, and Tammy was working in the morning, and according to the nurses, her co-workers, she behaved strangely at work. She was agitated, complaining of an elevated heart rate, and repeatedly checking her own blood pressure. So a nurse working with Tammy convinced her that she should call Park to take her home from work so she could go home and get some rest.
And they didn't want her driving herself home. They must have been worried enough that they said, call your husband, have him come get you.
Yeah, she really wasn't acting like herself. Her sister Becky had spoken to one of the nurses that was working with Tammy that day, and the nurse told her that Tammy was really agitated and had gotten loud at work, and according to Becky, Tammy just wasn't the type of person to be agitated or loud. She was a soft-spoken, mellow type of person, so that was odd.
That certainly was. I mean, that was totally out of character for her.
It was.
So something must have been going on.
Well, yes, they think there was a lot going on. She did tell the people...
Well, something more acute was going on. I should have said that.
Oh.
Because she's been depressed for a while, and she's had feelings of lethargy and tiredness for a couple weeks, and now she's all agitated and worrying about blood pressure and stuff, so that's something brand new.
Yeah, it seems kind of like maybe even a panic attack was going on.
Yeah, could be.
And that can be a side effect of some of the antidepressants, that you can get agitated and a little bit angry, upset.
Certainly can. Do we know if she is seeing a counselor or anything?
We don't know if she was seeing them on a regular basis. The family and the authorities have been pretty close-mouthed on Tammy and Park's personal life and health. But Tammy did say she had a doctor's appointment the following Monday, and Park did say that she'd been on antidepressants and tried different ones, and she told him that none were really working.
Huh. You would have thought if she'd been on several different ones, at least one of them would have worked.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it takes a while to find the right one.
Well, sometimes it takes a while to be on one before you can say, no, it's not working. I mean, usually it's 3 to 4 weeks before you're seeing any effect from an antidepressant.
Yeah, and it's hard for people to wait that long.
I know.
So it could be. I'd really like to know when she changed antidepressants as compared to this time.
Right.
Had she just recently started a new one? That would be significant, I think.
I certainly think so.
Yeah. So Park picked up Tammy at the nursing home where she worked, and they left Tammy's car at the nursing home. So around 10 a.m., Tammy went home with Park, and she put on her pajamas and got in bed, said she didn't feel good, and she just wanted to sleep. Now, according to Park, he kissed her on the forehead, said goodbye, and was going to take the boys, Carter and Cameron, out to run errands. And she said goodbye, and he said, I love you, and she said, I love you too.
So where's the daughter?
The daughter, Caitlin, was at a friend's house nearby.
Yeah, so this depressed woman who had a strange spell at work is by herself in the house. The daughter's gone. The husband takes the two kids on errands, so she's all alone.
Yes.
What mischief could she get into?
Well, we don't know. Now, the fact that he said that she smiled at him and, you know, said she loved him when he left, I mean, it absolutely could be true, of course, but it kind of contradicts what Tammy's mother and sister have said about Tammy and Park's relationship. Now, Tammy's mother is Teresa Russell, and she said the marriage was kind of on the rocks. She said Tammy had told her that Park was going to move into the basement, and they were going to see how that worked for a while.
So they're going to be in the same house, but he's going to be a basement dweller, and she's going to be an upstairs dweller.
Yeah.
That'll solve a lot of problems.
It's not a good sign when you can't even stay in the same room together.
No.
No.
But when he left and kissed her goodbye and she kissed him and said, I love you, I mean, that's just what he says, she said.
Yes, it is.
And who knows? She could have said, fuck you, go away. I want to sleep.
She could have. And even if he had nothing to do with her disappearance, he might say that she said, I love you, because it just sounds bad to say that they were fighting or that she said, fuck off.
Absolutely.
It's not something you would tell. No. I probably wouldn't if I were in that circumstance.
No. You'd want to lighten things up and make it sound like everything was great.
Well, yeah, we've all seen Gone Girl. We know how these things work with the husbands, for sure.
Yeah, you know, the husband's always a suspect.
Yeah, I think he is.
But this guy, as we'll see, is going to have a pretty solid alibi.
Yes, yes. Now, Tammy's sister said that Tammy was unhappy with Park, and she'd actually been considering getting a divorce from him.
So do we know exactly what the difficulties in the marriage were?
Well, according to Park, he felt that their difficulties were all just related to Tammy's depression. If she was depressed, she was unhappy, she won't talk about getting a divorce. But if she wasn't depressed, everything was perfect and they were perfectly happy.
Okay. Nobody was having an affair?
Well, not that we knew of at this point. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Okay. So Park left Tammy at the house, and this was around 10:30. And he dropped his older son, Carter, I think he was 14, at Tammy's mother's house to mow her lawn because he normally mowed the mother-in-law's lawn. And then he took his younger son, Cameron, shopping with him. Now at noon, Carter called his dad, Park, back to tell him that he was done mowing. So Park went and picked up Carter and came back to the house with Carter and Cameron.
So he was with one or both of his sons the whole time that the wife went missing.
Yeah. And the 14-year-old had actually said that he did see his mom in the bed when they left.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's not like he could have done something. Park could have done something beforehand and gotten rid of the body somewhere. But one of the children saw her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, good.
So when they returned home, the bedroom door was open. But Tammy was gone. And in the kitchen, there was a note on the table.
And the note said, I'm gone for a walk. See you later.
Went for a walk. Be back soon. Love you.
Okay. I got most of that right.
You did. You were very close. Now the weird thing, or one of the weird things, because there are many, was that Tammy's phone and purse were still in the house.
Well, I don't know why I take
a
purse to go
walking. As her keys.
I would probably take my phone and keys if I was just going for a short walk. I don't know why the purse sounds weird.
Yeah, if I was going to go out for a walk, I wouldn't bring my purse. I'd put my phone and my keys in my pocket.
Right.
But I wouldn't leave them. I wouldn't lock up the house and leave my keys there. The house was locked up, so that was pretty weird.
So how do you do that without keys?
Well, they had a door that you could lock and then shut.
Okay.
You know, some of the doors are like that.
So it wasn't a deadbolt?
No.
Okay. So she leaves her phone, her keys, and her purse, locks the door, and off she goes. How's she going to get back in?
Well, that's a good question. We don't know. We don't know where she went or how she planned on getting back in. Now, her car's at the nursing home, so she couldn't have gone out in her car anyway.
Right.
So Park thought it was odd, and he got concerned right away. He said he panicked because she wasn't the type of person to leave a written note. Usually she would text. This was 2014, not that long ago. Everybody had their cell phones and people text. So usually if she had to say something to anyone in the family and they weren't there, she would, you know, send out a text.
So there's something out of the ordinary.
Yes, that was out of the ordinary.
A written note instead of a text.
Yeah.
And that writing was in her handwriting?
Yes, that was confirmed later that it was her handwriting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a weird thing.
Yeah. So Park kind of panicked. He told his son Carter to watch Cameron, and he went out in his truck to look for her. He called Caitlin at her friend's house, their daughter, and asked her and her friend to drive around and look for her mom. because Caitlin's friend drove. So they were driving around looking for her mom. Park called the mother-in-law, Teresa Russell, and then when he got back to the house, he hadn't found her. He had Carter look through the woods with him, calling for her in the woods.
And if you've seen the show, the whatever.
It was the Disappeared on Investigation Discovery. They just had an episode featuring Tammy Kingery.
They lived out in the woods.
Yes.
So there was a long driveway to a road.
A busy road. Like, well, maybe not busy, but a road with no sidewalks that doesn't look like a good place to walk.
But it was a road with traffic.
Yes.
And the rest of the house was surrounded by trees.
Yes, it was pretty far out there. So there were no sidewalks, no parks, nothing like that within walking distance.
So did she go for walks frequently, or is this something out of the ordinary itself?
Out of the ordinary. Park said if she was going to go for a walk, she would have normally driven to some nearby parks and things. Of course, she didn't have a car, but she was ill in bed. That's the strange thing. She couldn't work. She was ill. Why did she decide to go for a walk?
Well, that's the interesting part. Maybe she wasn't ill.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe she was feigning illness.
It's a possibility. But she had been ill for a couple weeks. Do you think she would be faking that long?
Sure. I think if she had some plan, she needed to set the groundwork and make it look like she was getting more depressed or symptoms were increasing.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't gotten to that part yet.
No, and her mother and her sister both think that she wouldn't do that to them because she'd know how worried they'd be. Plus, she has these three kids that she's crazy about. If she wanted to leave Park, she didn't need to leave them.
Right.
So that's a really strange thing about it.
But I don't know why she would just go out for a walk that she really couldn't walk. I mean, she could walk down her driveway, which was a good long driveway to the road, but that's not a big walk. And then it doesn't sound like this is the kind of road that you're going to be walking on. Plus, if you were walking on it, there would have been cars driving by and people would have seen her.
Someone would have seen her if she was on that road. It was a fairly, I wouldn't say busy in the sense of constant traffic, but it was a main road and cars did go by fairly often.
Yeah, it wasn't a road where people were driving by every 10 minutes or so. It was more traffic-y than that.
Mm-hmm. So Park called the mother-in-law after they looked around the house and couldn't find.
So they didn't find her on his quick drive around.
No, they walked through the woods.
Didn't find her in the woods, although that would have taken a lot more of a search than the cursory search that he did in the woods. But anyway, not in the woods. The daughter didn't see her.
No. The daughter did say that when she was driving down the road in her friend's car, she saw a motorcycle go by with a woman on the back. The woman was wearing a helmet, so she couldn't tell for sure, but the woman had long blonde hair like Tammy, and she was on the back of a motorcycle driving away from the direction of the house. So that could have been a sighting of Tammy. She might have had a boyfriend that picked her up and she went off on the motorcycle.
Sure, but the daughter wasn't anywhere near certain that it was her mother.
No, she wasn't.
She just said she had blonde hair and she kind of resembled the mother. So I'm not sure about that. Did they look at any strange tracks in the driveway?
No.
Because it was a dirt driveway.
Right. No, not that I know of. That wasn't mentioned at all.
Okay.
Now, it was 2 p.m. when he called 911. Park called 911. So that's about 4 hours after he had seen his wife, Tammy.
Right, and 2 hours after he'd gotten home. He got home around noontime.
Yeah, they looked for about 2 hours. Tammy's mother came over because she lived nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really worried, so they called 911 to get people to come help them search. So deputies came over, they search. The detectives check the home. They interview all the kids. They interview Park. And they really don't come up with anything. So bloodhounds are brought in. They're called fresh scent dogs, where they smelled the clothes she was wearing, her nursing clothes from that morning, but they couldn't pick up the scent anywhere outside the house. So because it was still daylight, they decided they'd go ahead and bring a helicopter in and search like a 10-mile radius. They'd already done a 1-mile radius search with the deputies and didn't find anything. So the helicopter went to search, and according to Tammy's mother, Teresa, once the helicopter was there, it really hit her that wow, this is really something serious. This isn't just a little thing where my daughter went somewhere and we don't know. This is, something's wrong here.
Certainly sounds like it. So what, I don't know if you can answer this one either. And so she gets home from work. She's in her nursing scrubs or whatever they wear. And she wears them to bed?
No, she put on her pajamas.
Put on pajamas. So her nursing clothes are there.
Yes.
And then she took off her pajamas and put some other clothes on to take her walk.
Well, I guess they were not technically pajamas. It was sweatpants and a top. And that is what she left in.
Okay.
So they were her, you know, around the house clothes.
So, but there was a change of clothes from the nursing outfit into the lounging, hiking, walking clothes.
Yeah, and that's what they used to give the dogs her scent, were the clothes she wore that morning to work. Yeah.
And they didn't find any trace of her outside?
No, there were 20 to 25 deputies searching, and they did a complete mile radius around the house in the woods, and they even took four-wheelers out, and there was no sign of her. So a bee on the lookout was issued to try and find her, and there were some sightings. There were like 20 sightings.
Credible sightings?
No. Right. No, just people that thought that they saw her. Nobody that saw a blonde woman walking down the road.
Right. And nobody saw, besides the daughter, a blonde woman that might have been her mother on a motorcycle.
Yeah, she said, I might have seen Mom in the back of a motorcycle with a strange man. And the woman on the back had blonde hair like Mom's, and it was sticking out of the helmet. Now, the funny thing about the disappeared episode, which is the only place I could find this part of the story, nothing else had that. And on the disappeared episode, they said that, and then it just kind of got dropped. It was never mentioned again.
Yeah, I would imagine it's because nobody else would confirm seeing a blonde-haired lady on a motorcycle.
Well, no, but it's a definite possibility that it was her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. A blonde woman's missing, a blonde woman on a motorcycle. It's possible. I don't know what the odds are that it's her, but it's definitely something that you should remember that could have been related.
She's wearing a helmet, so not that much of her blonde hair was sticking out. I think it'd be really difficult to say with any degree of certainty or suspicion that that was Mom. I would just be able to say, yeah, there's some blonde lady on the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it depends how many motorcycles come down that street, how rare or common it is. I'm thinking in that country area where they had four-wheelers and stuff, probably motorcycles were not that unusual.
I wouldn't think.
No. So Caitlin and her friend turned around. They weren't able to find the motorcycle. They tried to follow it, but it was gone by the time they turned around on the road and headed that way, because they were going towards the house and the motorcycle was going away from the house on the road. So the area is close to some highways, and according to Park, motorcycles are fairly common there. So police are interviewing Park, and he tells them that Tammy does have depression, and the family makes up flyers. They use her Facebook page to try and get people to write in and give them information, and it seemed like the community was very supportive and pretty upset about this. They seemed to really gather around to help out. There were family and friends organizing a volunteer search.
And no trace of her.
No, no trace of her. And such a small amount of information. I feel like we're not saying that much, but that's all there is.
So there's not been, other than 20 or so sightings.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming nothing came of any of those sightings.
Nothing came of it. And I almost hesitated to talk about this case, but because it's so recent and her family, her kids are really looking for her, I felt like, well, why don't we do it? Because maybe we can help find her, get her home. Any kind of, I know that we're not ABC News or anything, but I think getting it out there to the most people possible, we might be able to help.
So what do you think the possibilities are?
Well, there's the possibility that she left, which I find hard to believe that she would have left that long. There's the possibility that she hurt herself. But you don't walk a mile or 10 miles and then kill yourself. That doesn't make sense to me. I guess it's possible, but it doesn't make sense to me. And you think if she'd done that, she would have been found. She can't make herself disappear.
Right.
It was a week later on September 27th that over 100 people from the community did a search, every square inch, 10-mile radius, and they were really concerned that they were, if they found Tammy, she would probably be dead, either by suicide or homicide. There was actually an old overgrown shack in the woods that had an odor of decomposition, which really gave them a scare. But when they looked into it, there was a bag with dog remains in it. Which was really odd. Who would take dog remains out to a shack? It wasn't a place where anyone lived. And the family was wondering, well, geez, maybe someone dangerous is around here in the woods, because that's a weird thing to do.
Yeah, that's a bit of a jump. Somebody loses a dog, and they just bag it and throw it in the shack.
Well, that's kind of weird, I think. Why would you take it out to a shack?
It's easier than digging a grave for the dog.
I suppose. They decided it didn't probably have anything to do with her. But it gave them a scare.
Sure.
So the investigation into whether foul play was involved, that involved a search of the computer, the family computer, and a search of Tammy's cell phone records. So they had to get a warrant to search for her cell phone records. And they got there were some deleted texts on the phone that they were able to recover. So they discovered a series of deleted messages, and they were with two separate men, and they were romantic messages. That is the extent of the details the authorities would give. They would not say who the men were or what the text said.
Just that they were romantic.
Yes, and that once they investigated them, they didn't lead to any possible suspects or to finding Tammy at all.
Okay.
So, of course, Park was interrogated more than once, and his alibi checked out that he was with the kids. He had store receipts, and his cell phone had pinged. That had checked out that it had pinged where he said he was. So it seems that Park was being truthful about where he was during this time period.
I would think that's a pretty good alibi. He's got his two of his kids with him. He went shopping. He stopped at the mother-in-law's to drop off the one kid to mow the lawn, pick that kid up. And I don't see any way he could be involved in her disappearance.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely. Now, when the police interviewed Park, they found out that the marriage was on shaky ground. And he did reveal that Tammy had an affair, and a divorce was discussed. And according to her sister and mother, Park and Tammy had been very distant with each other since around the time Cameron was born. Things seemed pretty good up until then.
Cameron's the youngest?
Yeah, Cameron's the youngest.
Is that when some of her depressive symptoms started up? A postpartum depression that persisted?
Well, according to Park, yes. We don't really know if it was related to postpartum depression because we don't have any medical information about her. But according to her sister Betsy, Tammy had been upset over the last couple of weeks. She said she didn't know if the marriage would work out and she didn't know what to do. And it was really stressing her out a lot. They had been married a long time since pretty much, you know, right out of high school.
Yep, very young.
Mm-hmm. But again, according to Park, the marriage troubles were all related to Tammy's depression. Which, I don't know if I believe that. I could see how depression could hurt their relationship, as I said, but I don't really see that that would be the only problem. Maybe it stemmed from the depression that she went outside the marriage for attention, but I think there's more to it than she's depressed, she wants a divorce, when she's not depressed, everything's perfect. It's not black and white like that.
No, I agree, but she's had at least one affair that the husband knew about.
Yes.
And as we found out, she's been corresponding with two other guys. Well, maybe not two other guys, at least one other guy. Two guys on the phone, yeah. Sending text messages.
Well, and the thing is, we don't know when this happened. You know, no one has revealed, was this affair near the time when she left? Were both the men at the same time? Were they over a number of months? It's just really, we don't
right.
have the...
Don't know.
We don't have the information to really make a judgment on that.
But yeah, I mean, I think the marital troubles were certainly more than just her depression.
Well, and I think it was her that was more unhappy than him. I don't think that he wanted out of the marriage.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like she was looking for a way out of the marriage, which would make me think she might walk away, but I can't believe that she would leave her children.
Well, that's happened before. Not for this woman, but other people that have left a marriage and left the kids behind.
Yeah, it's not impossible.
No.
So they gave Park a polygraph. He agreed to take the polygraph. And he told Teresa, Tammy's mother, that the polygraph really made him nervous and he was worried about it. And she said, well, you've got nothing to hide. You didn't do anything. You shouldn't be worried about it. And Park actually told her that since he was a small child, he had a fear of a polygraph machine. I thought, well, that's kind of odd.
That's very weird. Ever since I was a little kid, I was worried that I'd flunk a polygraph test.
Yeah. So he was really nervous about it. He admitted he was nervous. And then law enforcement would not reveal the results to the public. They've been so close-mouthed about all this. But in a podcast interview, Park did reveal that the police told him that many of his answers were inconclusive and that he did not pass the polygraph.
Well,
so Park knew that and the police knew that, but it wasn't something that they were willing to share until Park revealed it.
Did he fail the polygraph?
That's what he said. He didn't pass.
Not passing doesn't necessarily mean failing. If he's really nervous about it, maybe that's why he didn't pass.
Well, maybe, but he didn't pass.
Right.
So that's not a good sign.
Well,
regardless,
he's still free. He hasn't been charged with anything.
That's true. So he got a lawyer after that and stopped talking to the police.
Good idea.
Now, he claims he had nothing to do with her disappearance, and we really have no reason to believe that he did. He seems distraught, like he misses his wife, and he wants her back. He hadn't gotten a life insurance policy a couple weeks before. There was nothing suspicious like that going on. So not passing the polygraph doesn't look very good for Park, although there's nothing to make us think that he did anything to her. You know, no life insurance policy, no girlfriend, nothing like that in his background to make you think that he would want to get rid of her.
Well, I'm going to take the not passing the polygraph with a real grain of salt.
Again, yeah.
He's got a very solid alibi.
He does.
It doesn't look like something happened to the woman before they all left because one of the sons saw her in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And she was gone when they got back. So I just don't see how we're going to implicate Park in
this. No, I don't
think
we are. I don't think we are.
So, and I'd be thinking it's more of being nervous that made him not pass the polygraph. And the other thing I would think is if it was that bad of a polygraph test that he would have been arrested.
Well, I don't think they arrest people based on a polygraph, especially if they have an alibi. I don't think so, because it's not admissible in court. We know that.
Well, I know, but they would arrest him because they suspect that he did it.
But I don't think that he is a suspect. I don't think that he did anything.
Me either.
So, according to police, it continues to be a missing persons case, not a homicide case. There's no evidence to indicate that Park or anyone else killed her. In the house, at least. Nothing in the house or the area. So Tammy's family thinks that lakes and bodies of water need to be searched. Those haven't been searched. So that is what they've been saying over the past 6 months or so, that everything's been searched, but not the bodies of water.
So what are they thinking, that she killed herself by drowning? That she threw herself into one of the bodies of water?
Either that or her body was put in there.
So yeah. If she killed herself by drowning, they would have found the body. It's going to come to the surface.
Right.
If somebody killed her, they'd have to weigh her down. And I'd still expect to see something coming to the surface of the water. So I think they're grasping at straws.
Well, that's what the sheriff said, is that they really don't see the point in searching the bodies of water, because if she was in the water, as you said, she would float to the top. So what I think happened, and I'm just going to put this out there because this is what I think happened from watching the Disappeared show, from the things, the very little bit of things I was able to find online, it seems to me that she left the house of her own accord, because it was proven that she wrote the note and there's no signs of a struggle or anything in the house. So I think that she did leave the house of her own accord, but I also think that something happened to her after she left the house. Maybe she was going out to meet somebody, a guy or something, and he grabbed her up. Maybe she went out to walk somewhere and there was a crime of opportunity and somebody came by and grabbed her and hurt her. I don't think that she committed suicide. I think if she'd done that, she would have been found by now. Don't you think so?
I would think so. I'm just going to say, though, also that the scent dogs didn't find any trace of her. So
no.
I don't think she moved very far from the front door of the house, because the dogs would have found her scent.
Hmm. So what are you saying could have happened then?
Well, I think that she did leave of her own accord, and I think of those possibilities, or the possibility linked with leaving of your own accord, was that she was running away with somebody who picked her up at her house, and that's why there's no scent, and off they go.
So maybe the motorcycle.
Possibly the motorcycle.
Yeah.
The other thing would be that somebody grabbed her, but that just presupposes too many things.
What do you mean?
Well, she left the note.
She left the note. It was her writing.
So there, and as you said, there wasn't any struggle. So she left a note to tell him that she was on a walk.
Which isn't something she would normally do, according to her family.
Well, if she was going to run away with somebody, it'd be better to leave a note that would give you some lead time.
Oh, you're smart, yeah.
Rather than sending a text to the husband that I'm going for a walk. Because he might come home very quickly because he figures, oh, she's sick. I better go check her.
That's true. So I didn't even think of that. You're so smart.
Well, I'm just cynical.
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, I thought that why would she leave a note instead of a text? And I went back and forth in my head. And then that makes total sense to me. If I was going to leave and I didn't want anyone to come and stop me from leaving, I'd leave a written note.
Leave a note.
Yep.
So my theory, because I just can't believe that somebody just happened to drive up the driveway and grab her and take off with her.
Well, what would they do then? They'd have to come in and make her write the note.
Well, I guess maybe she was planning on taking a walk anyway, but no, let's go back the other way. So somebody enters the house with the intention of kidnapping her and makes her write the note and takes off with her. That just is a little too far-fetched for me to believe.
Yeah, that's not likely.
But if she was planning on escaping with somebody, she could write the note to give her a little bit extra time, and she could hop in the car or the motorcycle or whatever, and off she goes, and that way the scent dogs don't get any scent, and she's gone. She has a head start. Now, the difficulty, a little bit I have with that, is that she leaves her three kids, who she should love pretty much and might not want to leave them. I can see wanting to get away from the marriage and away from the husband, but it's a little tough for me to just say I'm leaving the kids.
Yeah, well,
but maybe she could.
Well, maybe she was so unhappy. You'd have to be really unhappy to do that. But maybe that's how she felt. Maybe she was just so unhappy. She felt smothered in the marriage. But she knew that her husband was a decent father, and she was in love with somebody else. And she left. That's possible.
Ah, I've brought you over to my side.
It could be like Bridges of Madison County. Remember Meryl Streep, Clint Eastwood?
Right.
Her family's away at like a 4-H thing for 4 days. And Clint stays with her. And he wants her to run away with him. And she's but packed and ready to go.
She doesn't go.
She couldn't go through with it, but maybe Tammy could.
She stayed with her husband and her kids. And they never knew about Clint until she had died and they were going through her effects.
Yes, but I always wanted her to go. When she was sitting in the truck behind him and her hand was on the handle, I was like, go, go. But she never did.
Nope.
No.
But you're saying that just because it was Clint Eastwood anyway.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a huge Clint Eastwood fan, but they had chemistry in that movie. They had good chemistry. But anyway, I think that was a nice way to think of it. That would be nice for her if that's what's going on. I'd rather think that for her sake than that she was killed or hurt herself.
Well, I think if she hurt herself or was killed, they would have found her body.
I agree.
A killer isn't going to dry the body for a length of time and then get rid of it.
Unless she was, like, going to run off for the weekend and then got killed while she was away. Maybe she left with a guy and then she wanted to go back home and he didn't want her to.
Sure.
Something like that could have happened.
I could entertain that thought. Mm-hmm. But again, they haven't found any unidentified female blonde bodies.
No. And I'm just thinking, how are they going to find her? This is the case that has the least amount of info, evidence, although I'm sure the police have plenty that they are not sharing with us. But obviously not anything significant because they haven't arrested anyone or made any statement about what happened to her.
And the guys in the text messages on her cell phone, I guess, have been cleared?
Apparently.
So it wasn't them.
So they must have been interviewed. I just assume that.
Well, wouldn't you think?
Well, when they said that they got the messages and they followed up on it and it didn't lead anywhere, that's what I'm assuming. They talked to these guys.
And I kind of like that the police department's being more closed mouth so that you're not getting too much information that might help them find a guilty person.
Yeah, well, if something happened to her, I certainly hope that that's the case.
Or they can figure out who she ran away with.
Well, who I really feel bad for are her kids, her mother, her sisters, who are just devastated by this loss and want to know that she's okay.
So they haven't heard anything from her for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Since September of 2014, there's been absolutely no contact.
No contact, no confirmed sightings, nothing.
Well, and just to be one more time a cynic, Maybe she has communicated with her mother to tell her that she's okay, but mom's not saying anything.
There's no signs that her husband was abusive, so it's not the kind of situation where she would be in hiding from him, I don't believe.
No.
So why would she do that?
Well, they're not divorced or anything.
No.
So I'm still thinking that in my mind, the most likely thing is that she went away with somebody voluntarily.
Well, I hope so. I just think it's pretty unusual for a woman to leave her children behind. That is a very drastic measure.
Yes, it is.
It is. So whatever she would do that for, it must have been something going on pretty serious.
But if you're depressed and ill, you're not thinking properly, and that might have been something else.
That's true. Well, that's what worries me too, is that if she was depressed or confused, that she might have been an easy target for bad people.
Yeah, but we would have found her body.
Probably. So Tammy Russell Kingery is considered endangered missing. She has pierced ears, a scar on each side of her chest, and a scar on her left wrist. She was last seen wearing a light-colored shirt and dark pants, and she frequently wears bracelets on her left wrist. Now, as we said, she has a recent history of depression, and she's considered endangered. Her date of birth, 4/13/77, so now she would be 39. She was 5'4", weighing about 125 pounds, long blonde hair, hazel eyes. The last time she was seen was in her home by her husband, Park. If you have any information to help the family find Tammy Kingery, you can call the Edgefield County Sheriff at 803-637-5337. And we will hope that somebody will be able to call in and help the family find Tammy. Unless she doesn't want to be found, I guess.
Right.
And then we say more power to you, Tammy. I hope you're doing well.
Yes.
So, as you know, True Crime Brewery is available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. You can follow us on Twitter at TieGrabberPods and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TieGrabberPodcasts. Our website is www.TieGrabber.com. If you'd like to help us out, click the PayPal subscribe button on our website, and you can contribute as little as $1 a month just to help us keep this ad-free. Now, you can support us also at patreon.com, and that's patreon.com/truecrimebrewery. If you want to help the podcast without giving up any cash, it would be a really big help if you would leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That really helps us. That's the main way that we get more listeners to listen and spread the word about our podcast. So that's it for today. I'm Jill.
I'm Dick.
See you later.
Next time.